buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Dan Ravie. Violence in Lebanon. Israeli planes dropped bombs on Beirut's airport. Rockets, apparently from the Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, hit Israeli towns, including the port city Haifa. In addition, Israel hit targets in Gaza. Energy analyst Peter Butel says no wonder the price of oil today rose to a new record, $76.70 a barrel. This year, the price of oil is up 26%.
At this stage, I'm afraid I see no relief in sight, and I do believe we probably will see oil prices continue to move higher from here through the middle of October.
The U.S. today vetoed a resolution at the United Nations that would have condemned Israel for violence in Gaza. The Bush administration says Hamas militants there and Hezbollah gunmen in Lebanon started these twin crises by kidnapping Israeli soldiers. Traveling with President Bush in Europe, CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
The administration is launching a broad diplomatic effort aimed at reducing Middle East tensions. In a late-night briefing here in Germany, National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley outlined the immediate goals.
We need to bring pressure on Hezbollah, and we have urged all those who have a line and have influence with Hezbollah to use that influence.
Hadley says Israel realizes the need to minimize civilian casualties as it responds to attacks while seeking the return of abducted soldiers. Asked about the threat of a wider conflict, Secretary of State Rice declined to speculate on what she described as apocalyptic scenarios. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Rostock, Germany.
Just in from Beirut, Israeli jets have bombed the highway linking Lebanon's capital with Syria's capital, Damascus. A concession by the Bush administration on warrantless wiretaps, agreeing, according to Senator Arlen Specter, to let the Secret Intelligence Court, FISA, see the details.
My objective is to get this program submitted to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, and the President has made the commitment to do that.
The House, after delays that many civil rights activists found outrageous, has just approved an extension of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. CBS's Bob Fuss.
After being blocked last month by Southern conservatives, the House passed a 25-year extension of the landmark 1965 Act. Necessary then, said Democrat Maxine Waters, and now.
Pass this voting rights reauthorization bill and show the world that America is sincere about democracy.
Opponents, including Republican Lynn Westmoreland of Georgia, said it's not fair to continue holding southern states to tougher scrutiny.
That states with voting problems 40 years ago can simply never be forgiven.
But the vote to renew was overwhelming, and Senate passage is also expected. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The former CIA officer Valerie Plame, whose cover was blown after her husband became an outspoken critic of the war in Iraq, today announced she's suing Vice President Cheney, his former aide Scooter Libby, and White House advisor Karl Rove. Stocks much lower today. The Dow lost 167. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
Everybody has a different idea of the perfect home.
Now that the kids are grown, we want a smaller place.
We really need more room. There's a baby on the way.
I'll take a place with a garage for my new baby.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
The comedian and actor Red Buttons has died at home in Los Angeles. He was 87 years old. CBS's Lou Miliano looks back.
Due to their uniforms, all bellhops were known as Buttons. In the mid-30s, 16-year-old bellhop Aaron Chwat also had red hair, so they called him Red Buttons. And it stuck. From vaudeville through radio and TV, Broadway and films, Red Buttons became a Friars Club favorite with his routine about people who were never so honored.
Abraham Lincoln, who said a house divided is a condominium, never got a dinner.
He won an Academy for Sayonara, was in The Longest Day and The Poseidon Adventure. Red Buttons, dead at 87. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
More trouble for Boston's Big Dig Highway project. Now inspectors say they found even more ceiling bolt problem spots in the tunnel, where a woman was crushed to death this week after concrete slabs fell from above. Dan Revive, CBS News.
We all love champions. We all love winners. And even the best of them can suffer from cold sores. Millions of people suffer from cold sores. And now millions of people use Relieve one-day cold sore symptom treatment. Why do they choose Relieve? Because Relieve is the only treatment that guarantees to relieve the symptoms of cold sores in just a day. So if you suffer from cold sores, get a winning treatment. Get Relieve. It's guaranteed. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V. And you can buy Relieve from the shelves of all major drugstores and other fine stores.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We are launching into 3 hours of live, unrehearsed, unscripted radio talk of a progressive variety. Oh, and we've got so much to talk about. Each of our guests on the program today will deal with a breaking news story. And there's a lot of news breaking out there. Coming up in about a half an hour, Bill Goodman will join us, legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights. They represent many of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And there are a lot of new developments in the case since the Supreme Court ruled just before July 4th. We'll talk with Bill Goodman about that. Also on today's show, Spencer Overton, who's a law professor at George Washington University, and the author of a new book called Stealing Democracy. We'll talk about this remarkable session in the House in Washington today. Republicans first broke a deal with Democrats to pass the voting rights extension as is. And then when Democrats successfully resisted, the vote went through 390 to 33. No amendments were made. Also on today's program, Chris Tonsing, the editor of the Middle East Report, will check in and give us his views on Israel's two-front battles against the Palestinians. It's turning into quite a conflagration there, and we'll talk about it with Chris Tonsing. Then in our third hour, it's wide open for your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. As usual, you can call then or call anytime between now and then. Join us when guests are on the air, or call and just talk to me. Those are your options. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast. And you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And anytime, 24-7, you can drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. And every week we make time to get a download of data from Washington, D.C. Faz Shakir joins us. He is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, published at the Center for American Progress. And it's available to you free as an email every day. Just log on to progressreport.org to receive your very own copy. Faz, how are you?
I'm fine, Peter. How are you?
So much going on. It's hard to keep up with everything. And fortunately, you've got a whole crew of people at the Progress Report, but even with that, you're probably a little overextended these days.
Yeah, exactly. We thought that this month was going to be a little bit slower because Bush is traveling around and he's getting ready for his Crawford vacation, but it looks like there's just the events are kind of overtaking his schedule.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you in our second segment about today's progress report. It relates to the rights of detainees, Guantanamo Bay, and that will segue perfectly with our guest in the following half hour, Bill Goodman from the Center for Constitutional Rights. But today, Joe Wilson and his wife, Valerie, dropped not a bomb, and it doesn't come as a surprise, because when I was in Washington 3 weeks ago, I saw the ambassador briefly after it had been announced that Karl Rove does not expect to be indicted. And at that time, he didn't want to make any comment, just wanted to let Rove have his moment. Well, payback has arrived, because today he and his wife filed a complaint. And they are suing not only Karl Rove, but also Scooter Libby and Vice President Cheney, alleging that they conspired to deny Valerie Plame Wilson her constitutional and other legal rights. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it's actually been a long time in coming, but the reason that it hasn't come sooner is because I think Ambassador Wilson was asked by Fitzgerald not to file this civil complaint until the criminal case was over, and so I think Ambassador Wilson honored that pledge, and he waited until Karl Rove and others were absolved of their guilt.
Hold on. I don't believe that Karl Rove has been absolved of anything. We have a representation from his attorney, Robert Luskin, that there was a letter from Fitzgerald that says he won't be indicted at this time. That's hardly an absolution, Fez.
Well, yeah, fair enough, but for right now he's absolved. But we'll see, and that's only criminally. And what's interesting about the civil case is that it's going to bring up a lot of those charges that Fitzgerald seems to believe he didn't have enough evidence to go after. Particularly, the lawsuit specifically says that there was an intentional and malicious exposure by senior officials within the White House to out his wife. So it's going to get right to the heart of the matter. And I would also add that it wasn't just Cheney and Libby and Rove who are mentioned. There are 10 other unnamed administration officials who are mentioned in the lawsuit as well.
Oh, good. I hadn't noticed that, but it does say here other unnamed senior White House officials. Now, are they John Doe's or Harriet
That's
Myers
right.
or?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation that Stephen Hadley may be the primary source for Robert Novak, and of course we can get to that later, but perhaps he's one of the unnamed sources.
Yeah, yeah. So this is going to be very, very interesting. Now, a couple of items. One is that tomorrow morning on the Bill Press Show, which originates from down the hall from you there at the Center for American Progress, Robert Novak is going to be a guest. And on some of these same stations, I know KRXA carries the Bill Press Show, and I think KSAC in Sacramento does. So it'll be during the second hour, which is 4 a.m. Pacific time. If you happen to be up, you can tune in and hear Bill Press quiz his former Crossfire colleague. Now, this will be very interesting because Press and Novak appear to be friends and probably got along off the set on Crossfire. But when they were both there at CNN, they did tangle quite a bit. So it'll be interesting to see just how forthcoming Novak is for his old TV partner.
And I think this is the only interview that Novak is giving to somebody who doesn't already agree with his point of view, that being not Fox News or the right-wing print publication. So it'll be interesting to see how somebody who's not on board with Novak's deception will treat him. I would also add that tomorrow is the press conference that Wilson and Plame are they're going to deliver a press conference here in Washington, I think at 10 a.m. Eastern.
10 a.m. at the press club, right.
That's right. That's right. So that's something else to look forward to.
If people want to get more information, there is now a website set up at wilsonsupport.org announcing the launch of the Joseph and Valerie Wilson Legal Support Trust. They are soliciting contributions from Americans to help them with what they expect to be substantial legal fees. And the promise they make is that if they are successful in winning any money judgments, that the trust will be replenished. And then the rest of the money is going to be given away to charitable groups, I think, that support whistleblowers. So I think that's a brilliant structure that they have set up to try to limit their own personal cost of pursuing this case while bringing attention to the whistleblower issue and possibly in the future funding similar legal efforts for other whistleblowers.
Well,
now,
they're certainly going about it a different way than Scooter Libby is, huh?
Yes, they are. Well, and probably they won't be represented by an attorney from the Baker Botts law firm.
Right.
We can just guess that much. Now, Faz, you're the guy in law school of the two of us here. Could you explain to our listeners the difference between the criminal proceedings which are underway against Scooter Libby and the civil proceedings which are being initiated by Mr. and Mrs. Wilson? Because the standard to win a conviction is different. I learned that in the OJ case.
That's right. That's right. It's actually a slightly lower standard because now you're talking about the intent of the parties and you're talking about the damage that they have caused to you personally. So you can introduce all kinds of other evidence that wouldn't have been admissible in a criminal trial because you were only trying to convict on certain criminal statutes. Here, they're going to want to, the Plain family, Wilson family, will want to show that her career was damaged, that it cost her a lot of income. And so that invites witness testimony from people who surrounded her and who can just comment on the type of work that she was doing. And so all these sorts of factors will come into play, and we'll also learn more about the campaign to smear her because that will also be admissible. We'll be allowed to talk. Reporters will be allowed to give their testimony about whether they felt there was a campaign to smear Wilson. So that it'll be a much more interesting, exciting trial.
And Faz, in addition, the standard for a conviction in a civil trial is the preponderance of the evidence, whereas in a criminal trial, it's beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
And what I'm not clear on, though, is I've never really seen a civil case used to try to establish a conspiracy. And in the event they can prove it, is it joint and several liability? The deepest pockets pay the most?
Well, I don't know. I get that's one question. I guess we'll have to wait for the press conference tomorrow. But you're right that they are alleging that that those senior White House officials conspired to destroy her career. But the way they have to make that case is through intent standards and whether they were sufficiently malicious in their intent. And whether they were obstructing justice as they tried to do this, it'll be very interesting to see how they go about trying to make this case. But her career is the central issue here, whether they conspired to damage her career.
Mm-hmm. Coming back to Robert Novak, he so far has declined to name the man he described as his primary source. I just called him a man because you suggested Stephen Hadley. Any further information that really does buttress the supposition that Hadley was the primary source for Novak?
Yeah, well, he gave an interview to Brett Hume last night on Fox News, and he said it was a Mr. So-and-so. So we do know it was a male, and he said that actually a couple times. He has never mentioned that it might be a female. So that cuts down the list there. A lot of people have speculated that it is Richard Armitage, who worked at the State Department, but what Novak clued us into yesterday was that it was somebody who seemed to be close with Karl Rove and also wasn't a partisan gunslinger and somebody who was very difficult to access. And that last bit of information that he said last night, that this guy is somebody who's difficult to access.
The other bit of circumstantial evidence I'd bring forward is that he was a member of the White House Iraq group.
That's
so
right.
It would make sense for him to be a part of the team on message trying to discredit Joe Wilson.
Right, right. And to go back to the part about him being difficult to access, a lot of people have pointed out that Richard Armitage was out there a lot. He wasn't very difficult to access. Stephen Hadley, of course, was the recipient of the email from Karl Rove saying that he had just talked with Matt Cooper. And so we know that that Stephen Hadley is a central player here, and I think he does fit a lot of the qualities that Robert Novak has talked about. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward.
We'll continue in just a moment. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Progress Report. 18 minutes past the hour. We'll continue right after this on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This Sunday and every Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate has the biggest names and the biggest deals in real estate. Here is where you can learn about first-time home buying, investing, 1031 exchanges, who are the best lenders, and what will be the next hot area for investing. Rock Roller Real Estate, soon to be heard in Phoenix, San Diego, and Portland. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes past the hour. Coming up shortly, Bill Goodman will join us. He's legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights. They're the agency that has taken the lead in defending the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And they're all over the news today. Bill Goodman quoted in Bob Herbert's column in the New York Times in a separate news article. Talked with the president of CCR, Michael Ratner, who's been a guest on our program on many occasions. And we're going to discuss that with Bill coming up shortly. We continue now with Faz Shakir from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. And your key stories today on the Progress Report relate to the legal aftermath of the Supreme Court decision right before July 4th, which was a sharp rebuke to the president and his policies. There are some of us who believe that the court could have gone a little further in defining his responsibility. But in sum, the court ruled that the president's plan is not based in the law, is not consistent with the Geneva Conventions, and they instructed him not to proceed with the military tribunals as they are currently envisioned. Now we have a debate in the House and Senate, And some Republicans want to simply paper over the problem, Faz, by essentially retroactively authorizing what the president has already done. Now, it's clear from the court ruling that there was a suggestion that Congress can regularize the treatment of these detainees and the legal process that they might face. But as you point out in the progress report, there are some key wrinkles in trying to simply rubber stamp the president's errors.
Right. Well, the Supreme Court in its decision in the Hampton case said that if Congress okays it, that will certainly be a major step forward. But we argue in the progress report today, and I think it's justified by the court's opinion, that you can't simply rubber stamp the military commissions as President Bush envisioned them. You have to make some changes to the structure of the commissions themselves because they don't afford the kind of due process that the Geneva Conventions and the Uniform Code of Military Justice require. And so in the opinion, the majority opinion written by Justice Stevens, he says that these military commissions established by President Bush don't meet the necessary standard of a regularly constituted court that the Geneva Conventions requires. And so there's changes that need to be made, but the administration wants to argue that all the Congress needs to do is rubber stamp President Bush's idea.
And I wasn't able to pay much attention to the debate going on. Do you get the sense that Democrats are really asserting themselves and are active participants in this debate, or is the agenda being set and the debate being dominated by the Republicans?
No, I think that the Democrats, of course, with the Supreme Court behind them, have a pretty clear and consistent view here, which is that they need to follow the Uniform Code of Military Justice and they need to follow the Geneva Conventions. I think those are pretty simple points. I haven't heard any Democrats stray from that. In fact, I've heard some Republicans moving towards that position, the most interesting of which I think is Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who always floats in the wind a little bit, but he's saying now that he wants to pass legislation that would make the military commissions consistent with the court-martial system, which is, of course, in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So if he were to do that, that would meet, I think, the standard. It affords the kind of due process that prisoners need. So we'll see if that has any traction or not.
And, Faz, you're such a gentleman. There you go again, being nice to Lindsey Graham. Because we should point out that he was the one who authored legislation last fall, November or December, that was an attempt to strip the court of jurisdiction over the Hamdan case itself. And they repudiated his effort. And now, of course, he seems to be in tune with the Supreme Court. I guess he feels a little bit chastened.
Yeah, you're right. He did try to strip the courts of hearing the Hamdan case itself, and there's an interesting story about how he and John Kyle conjured up a fake debate, transcript, and submitted it to the Supreme Court to try to convince them that they didn't have the authority to decide on the Hamdan case. But of course, the Supreme Court dug it out and realized that this was a fake transcript that they were being sent.
Really? So, yeah, tell us a little more about that. That smacks of fraud.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story. Senator John Kyle, a Republican from Arizona, and Lindsey Graham got together, and their staffs apparently created a fake transcript of a conversation that they said existed between the two senators on the Detainee Treatment Act. And this part of the testimony that they created suggested that the Supreme Court didn't have authority to sit on the Hamdan case. And so they submitted it as part of their amicus brief to the Supreme Court in the Hamdan case and said, well, see, you can't hear this case because it says right here in our debate transcript. But the Supreme Court looked at it and said, actually, you submitted that way after the fact. It wasn't even part of the official debate, and you're trying to mislead us here. So they snuffed it out.
Shouldn't they be sanctioned for that?
I think so. I mean, and many people have said, well, it's something that senators are allowed to do. They're allowed to put something into the record later.
It's time to crack down on frivolous amicus briefs filed by United States senators with phony information.
That's right. But one of the funniest things about this debate transcript that they conjured up is that they put in things into this transcript to make it seem like it was real. I talked about one sentence in the progress report today. John Kyle is quoted as saying, "Mr. President, I see that we are nearing the end of our allotted time." So they tried to put in parts in the testimony here that made it look like they were standing there on the floor talking about this, when in fact
I reserve the right to amend and offend my remarks.
That's right.
And
that's
Faz, the juicy quote from Barney Frank in the progress report today. Regarding this debate, the House thinks the Senate is the cowardly lion, and the Senate thinks the House is the scarecrow without a brain. I guess that makes Dick Cheney the Tin Man, and I owe James Pena, my board operator, for that line. Thank you, Faz.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, good to talk with you. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Bill Goodman joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, montereylimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or montereylimos.com.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues from the left coast and oozing eastward. This half hour, we talk about the subhuman policies of the Bush administration in the treatment of detainees at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere around the world.
Right
Our music at the moment from Australia's Midnight Oil. My country, right or wrong? That's not how I see it. Not at all. Joining us this half hour is Bill Goodman, legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York. We're standing by to connect with Bill. He should be with us here shortly. As I mentioned, CCR has been all over the news today. Bob Herbert wrote a powerful column in the op-ed section of the New York Times, and he quoted Bill Goodman here quite extensively. Goodman had to say, the opinion in Hamdan is really historic. On the one hand, it tells the executive branch that it will not be free to act as it chooses, which means to act lawlessly. At the same time, it acknowledges as part of American law certain international minimums of decency, morality, and ethics, and those are encompassed in Common Article 3. That is a reference to a portion of the Geneva Conventions. So what we have here is reaction to the Supreme Court decision. As you heard in our preceding segment with Faz Shakir, the debate is underway in the House and Senate as to how to react to the Supreme Court decision. And Republicans, leadership and otherwise, seem inclined to simply try to find a way to paper over the lawbreaking of this president and justify the actions that he has taken and the proposed military tribunals that he has said should be used to adjudicate the cases of those who are being held at Guantanamo Bay. Now, in separate reporting, what you can learn is that as many as 40% of the people at Gitmo are not the bad guys that the administration tells us they have detained there. They are schlubs who were in the wrong place at the wrong time and wound up in our maximum detention center, where some of the guards and other officials told detainees not to even think about the law. They said, we're the law here, and that's all you need to know. CCR doesn't accept that, and they are working on multiple fronts to address these issues and to try to win some legal standard that would apply to all of those some 500 people who currently reside under our control at Guantanamo Bay. Michael Ratner, the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, in today's New York Times, is quoted as saying that his group is investigating the possibility of bringing a case on behalf of a secret detainee through a family member. And Ratner has said that lawyers at his organization have already had preliminary contacts with relatives of people in the secret detention facilities. And keep in mind that in the last ruling of the court, I believe it was written by Sandra Day O'Connor. She's the one who told the president he didn't have a blank check, and they laid the basic groundwork that the detainees at Guantanamo Bay are entitled to basic human rights, basic legal rights. And so the court, in my view, has been reticent to be terribly explicit. But on the broad themes, they've said no blank checks, no tribunals, president is lawless in his approach to these issues, and so now we have to figure out what to do next. And that's what CCR is attempting to figure out, and it does appear that lawsuits on behalf of the detainees would be both permissible under the two Supreme Court rulings and now would have to be processed through either a military court-martial process, or through our standard justice system, the federal courts. So this produces some very interesting new developments. Here's a quote from Deborah Perlstein, a lawyer with Human Rights First, a visiting scholar at Princeton. She said, human rights advocates for some time have been talking about how to resolve the legal status of the CIA-held detainees who have been effectively disappeared. Yeah, like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who we have been told was the mastermind of 9/11. And we're also informed that he is in American custody. They deny he's at Guantanamo Bay and his name has not shown up on any of the lists. That may not be fully conclusive. But we also know from Dana Priest's reporting in the Washington Post that there is a chain of detention centers, maybe as many as 8 in addition to Guantanamo, We know that Bagram is one in Afghanistan. We know that there's one in at Abu Ghraib, obviously, in Iraq. And the other six are alleged to be in Eastern European countries, the ones mentioned, Poland, Bulgaria, Romania. And so we don't know where people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed are. We don't know why there's been no effort to bring them either into the now defunct military tribunals or into, you know, some other process like we did with Zacharias Moussaoui. And it's only speculation, but when we talked to CCR's Gita Gutierrez about 2 weeks ago, she speculated, as others have, that perhaps Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is not being talked about, is not being processed in any manner, is that we suspect he has been tortured, and that whatever information was coughed up during that torture could not legally be used against him in a proceeding in a real court, not a kangaroo court, but any kind of a real court. So this produces many interesting wrinkles. I hope we can get Bill Goodman on the line. James, give me an update. Have you been able to get through it all? Yeah? Well, why don't you give Matt a call and see if he can track him down and see if there's another phone number that we can get through to. All right. So James is working on that. And while we're waiting to talk to Bill Goodman, I'll tip you off that he is coming to the West Coast next week. He is going to be appearing at an event at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland. That's on Grand Avenue. And the theme of the evening is how to impeach a president. Now, one of the other efforts at the Center for Constitutional Rights is that they were the first to publish documents related to potential impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And they first published a pamphlet. Now they have a pretty substantial book that's out. And Dave Lindorf is the co-author, along with CCR's Barbara Olshansky, of that book about impeachment. He's going to be on our program this coming Monday, which is, what, the 17th of July. And then this event will be taking place just 2 days later. It's at 7 p.m. Wednesday, July 19th. And I know for many of our listeners, Oakland is quite a hike. But you can get more information, and if you care to attend this event, you just need to RSVP to the website articlesofimpeachment.net. That's www.articlesofimpeachment.net. And again, Bill Goodman, joined by Dr. Dan Ellsberg, will be leading this presentation next Wednesday, July 19th, 7 p.m. at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland. So I think what we'll do here is, hoping we can get a hold of Bill Goodman in the next couple of minutes, we're going to take a quick break and get caught up on all of our commercial business. And then if we can reach him, we'll have him on for the rest of this half hour. If not, I'm going to open up the phone lines to take your calls. So if you'd like to join us, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
The hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And thanks to the intrepid efforts of our producer and technical director, James Pena, we have tracked down Bill Goodman. He's legal director for the Center for Constitutional Rights. Hi, Bill. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure. I'm sorry I wasn't here earlier.
Well, I realize you're very busy. I just read your output. I saw the article, the column by Bob Herbert, quoting you in the paper today. Michael Ratner, widely quoted in the Times article about the consideration at CCR of filing suits on behalf of the families of detainees. And we also mentioned that you will be on the West Coast in Oakland next week.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. I will.
The session on impeachment. And Dave Lindorf, who together with your attorney, Barbara Olshansky, wrote this new book about the case of impeachment against Bush. They're going to be, not Barbara, I think she's out of the country, but Dave will be on our program next Monday to set the stage for your appearance here on Wednesday.
Great. Well, that's great.
So we thank you for your activism on many, many fronts. Let me first, Bill Goodman, ask you for your reaction in general to the Supreme Court's ruling in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld, and from there we'll talk about what kind of leg up it gives you to normalize the status of detainees and bring their situation in compliance with at least the Geneva Conventions, if not U.S. law.
Well, the Hamdan case is a very important case. This is a situation in which the executive branch of government has taken the position that it can disregard American law, it can disregard international law, and it can disregard any idea that there should be judicial oversight over how they try people, what they do, how they send people to prison, or even if they execute people. In other words, it's a system which is governed only by the will and the whim of a few men, George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and this would-be system of law is really a lawless system. So what Hamdan did, what the Supreme Court did in Hamdan, was to say to the executive, no, you cannot engage in this kind of unilateral decision-making over people's lives. The courts will have a role. The courts will tell you when you violate the law, when you step over the line, and whether you like it or not, this is a system, our democratic system is one which is run by separation of powers, and in the end the courts get to say what is constitutional and what's not. That's what's important about the Hamdan case. In addition, the Hamdan case recognized a basic floor, a minimum standard of human decency, which is recognized in the Geneva Conventions and Common Article 3 and elsewhere, and said that the American government and the military have to conform with those basic minimum requirements of morality. So it's a very important opinion.
Mm-hmm. And Bill Goodman, one of the things, you know I'm not a lawyer, I think you know that. I had hoped that since the case ruled that the president's position was illegal, that it might sanction him in some manner. I wouldn't expect them to launch impeachment proceedings, but at the same time, it appears they said this is flatly illegal, but they took no steps to discipline the president for his intentionally illegal acts.
Well, the Supreme Court wasn't asked to discipline the president. The Supreme Court was asked to make a decision about whether the president could go forward in the way he was proposing going forward with this military commission. And it decided that he could not. So mm-hmm. it's a statement about what the legal position of the two parties is. On the one hand, you have Hamdan. On the other hand, you have the Department of Defense, represented by Donald Rumsfeld. And they told Rumsfeld, you cannot try this man in this way. Now, if Rumsfeld and the president say we're going to disregard the court and do as we choose and do as we will, then we'll have a constitutional crisis on our hands. And the president has chosen to disobey the ruling of the Supreme Court, but he hasn't done that yet, and I suspect he will try and find a way of at least saying he's complying with what the court has told him to do.
Okay, understood. Now, your colleague, the president of CCR, Michael Ratner, wrote a piece that is available at alternet.org, and it's called How Do You Solve a Problem Like Geneva? In it, he talks about this Supreme Court decision and says, the court explicitly rejected the legal rationale for the abuse of detainees, affirming that no one in U.S. custody can be excluded from the Geneva Convention. Furthermore, he wrote, the U.S. must institute new policies absolutely guaranteeing humane treatment for detainees in U.S. custody anywhere in the world. Mistreatment of detainees was always criminal, of course, but now U.S. staff cannot even hide behind the Justice Department's fallacious guidance supporting abuse. The definition of war crimes has been reaffirmed, and perpetrators can and should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. He says, yet some apologists in Congress are already discussing legislation to experiment with creating a new regime of military commissions. We've seen this before, complex legislative maneuvers to deprive defendants of their fundamental rights. Now, the debate that has occurred so far in the House and the Senate does mirror what Michael Ratner says. Republicans are trying to find ways to simply paper over this illegal policy or set of policies by the administration. And that would be inconsistent with the Geneva Conventions and also put the U.S. in an awkward position in terms of our perception by other people in the world. What's your comment on the current debate in the Congress, Bill Goodman?
Well, there are different voices, even within the Republican Party of all places. Some voices, as you have commented and as Michael has said, are simply trying to, as he said, paper over the discrepancy between what's required by law and what the military chooses to do. And if they do so, it will be illegal and it will be challenged, and someday a court, maybe the Supreme Court, will have to decide that. On the other hand, there are voices that say we do have to provide the kinds of protections that the Geneva Convention requires. These are voices who may be right-wing, may be reactionary, may be conservative, but are not have not lost all sense of the fact that the United States exists within a world of other nations, and that if we want to behave sanely and rationally, we have to conform to the basic standards of international norms and practice and law. And so we'll see what Congress does. I hope that the saner, more intelligent, more knowledgeable voices will prevail, and the voices of ignorance, which amongst which are the president's, will lose.
We're talking with Bill Goodman, legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Visit their website to get complete information on this and many other cases that they cover. And that is ccr-ny.org, ccr-ny.org. Bill, you've been busy today, so I'll certainly understand if you're not up to speed on this, but I got a story just a little before we went on the air that a federal judge in Miami has issued some orders regarding the trial of Jose Padilla. And in particular, Judge Marsha Cook
allows Padilla to view 32 Defense Department documents that summarize statements that he made during his years in military custody and 57 videotapes of interrogations that he underwent during that same period. Are these rules, in your view, a response to the Supreme Court decision? Is Padilla getting better treatment in this upcoming trial because of the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, I haven't read Judge Cook's rulings, and I haven't followed the Padilla case as closely as I should. I respect Judge Cook. It's Marcia Cook, by the way. She's a very competent, skillful judge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that this ruling is in response to what the Supreme Court did in Hamden, nor anything else other than the fact that under the American system of justice, defendants have a right to see all of the evidence that may have some bearing on their case, whether it's inculpatory or exculpatory, and that's what she's doing. She's issuing a discovery decision saying that these are the rights that the basic fundamental level of rights that defendants are provided in criminal cases, and these are the rights that everybody should have. These are the rights that Hamdan or somebody who's charged in front of a military commission or military tribunal should have as well. Fortunately for Padilla, an American citizen arrested in the United States for charged with crimes committed allegedly both in and outside the United States, he gets these rights. Everyone should have them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my reaction.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this one proceeds, because you're certainly familiar, and many of our listeners are, that Padilla was going to be, he was held incommunicado. He was not at Gitmo. But it appeared they were going to put him in front of one of these tribunals or commissions. And at the very last minute, they not only changed up his set of co-defendants and the conspiracy charges against him, but they surprised us with changes in the facts, in the allegations of the case.
Yeah, complete changes in the charges against Padilla. That's right. He was charged with having some relationship to Chechnya and Bosnia, nothing to do with planning terrorism in the United States. And by the way, while he might have been charged under a military commission, the government asserted that it had the right to hold Padilla without any charges, without any trial, without any proceeding indefinitely as long as it wanted to. And only when that contention was on its way to the Supreme Court and they knew they were going to lose that case to the Supreme Court did they drop those charges and charge him with this rather lackluster, weak set of charges that we see in Miami at the present time.
Indeed, I agree with your assessment. Bill Goodman, tell us a little bit about the case for impeachment and what you will present in Oakland next Wednesday night.
Well, the case for impeachment is based upon a number of factors, some of which we laid out in our book, some of which we didn't even get to. I mean, I'm in New Orleans at the right now as we speak, and the high crimes and misdemeanors committed by this administration, this president, with regard to preparation for the hurricane and response afterwards should be a part of it. That's not in our book. We talked about warrantless wiretapping. We talked about basically the fraudulent way in which this president got us into a war. We talked about indefinite detentions and torture and basically an attempt to dismantle a system of government based on separation of powers. That's what the impeachment the current impeachment effort is based on.
Mm-hmm. And what is your hope in terms of reaching out to the public? We certainly have state legislatures, county and city, governments, municipal, I'm searching for words here, the local legislatures have passed resolutions urging the House Judiciary Committee to take up an impeachment investigation. What do you think will be the final tipping point? Where are you headed with this effort?
It could go in a number of ways. We're just trying to build a sense of public opinion that this is a lawless president and a lawless presidency and one that should be dismantled. And the building of public opinion in the ways in which you mentioned, city council resolutions, even PTA organization resolutions, but also for some reason the Democrats are able to obtain control of the House of Representatives, there is some hope that the House Judiciary Committee will launch an investigation looking at these charges and considering them seriously. And that's all we're looking for, is an airing of these charges and real evidence and real, a real discourse among the American people so that they are no longer left in the dark, which is what this president has attempted to do for so long.
And I'll cite George W. Bush and say, bring it on.
Bring it on.
Thank you, Bill Goodman.
All right. You're welcome, Peter. Good to talk to you.
Bill Goodman, Center for Constitutional Rights.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Israel goes after Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Nothing is safe.
The crisis has oil prices climbing.
This market is now getting close to testing $80 a barrel. I don't see anything out there that's capable of stopping it.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Israeli warplanes and artillery are pounding Lebanon in their effort to cripple Hezbollah. For the second time in 24 hours, CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports the Beirut airport was bombed, big fuel tanks set on fire.
Earlier in the day, Israeli warplanes punched holes in the runway, striking repeatedly to inflict as much damage as possible.
We strike the Beirut International Airfield to hint to the Lebanese government that nothing is safe.
That was borne out as Israeli forces attacked across Lebanon, hitting close to 200 targets, including two military air bases. Bridges were torn apart and roads destroyed. At the same time, rockets rained down on northern Israel in the heaviest bombardment from Lebanon in decades, killing two Israelis and wounding more than 100.
Hezbollah hit deeper inside Israel than ever before, firing rockets at the port city of Haifa. In another attempt to cut Lebanon off from the outside world, Israeli planes have bombed the highway linking Beirut and Damascus.
I'm Peter Mayer with the president in Germany. President Bush describes the latest crisis in the Middle East as a sad situation.
As a matter of fact, it's pathetic.
The president supports Israel's response.
Every nation must defend herself against terrorist attacks.
He reserved his harshest criticism for a country already on the U.S. terror list.
Syria needs to be held to account.
The issue will join other hot-button challenges at this weekend's G8 summit in Russia. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Rostock, Germany.
While defending Israel's action, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is urging restraint. Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject guys hate to talk about, erectile dysfunction. Well, if guys won't even talk about it, how can we doctors treat them? First caller.
Yes, just for the record, I've never personally experienced ED.
Okay.
But were I ever someday to have this issue, I have a prearranged code with my doctor.
You're going to mention some kind of code phrase.
Exactly. One I'm not at liberty to divulge at this point in time.
And you think your doc will remember it?
Well...
Wouldn't it be easier to just take a deep breath and blurt out?
As in, hey doc, I think I might have ED.
Well, yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Thanks.
And we're on the air. If you think you might have ED, your doctor's the one who can help. So blurt, stammer, hem, or haw, your doc will get the drift. It could make a difference in your sex life. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, visit JustAskToday.com.
Brace yourself for more pain at the pump. Mideast tensions have pushed crude oil prices higher than they've ever been. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has that story.
New York trading ended for the day with a new high, $76.70 per barrel, up almost $2. Energy analyst Peter Butel says a big factor is the Israeli-Lebanese violence, and the oil price seems certain to go up to $80 a barrel.
If we were to see the what has now become a regional conflict expand still further and draw in Iran or draw in other countries that do produce oil, this situation could become much worse.
The price of oil this year up 26%, fueling, of course, the price of gasoline. Dan Revive, CBS News, New York.
Republican Senator Arlen Specter, a critic of the Bush administration's domestic eavesdropping program, has won an agreement from the White House. The secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court will be asked to review the program and decide whether it's constitutional.
There has to be judicial review before you can wiretap. That's been the tradition.
Specter chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee. Lawyers for accused Al-Qaeda operative Jose Padilla have won a key victory. A federal judge has ordered that Padilla be given access to the classified documents and videotapes the government's using to make its case against him. In the California desert,
30 Alpha.
Still a losing battle against a wildfire that's grown to 40,000 acres. As firefighters try to contain it, they worry it might merge with another fire in the San Bernardino National Forest. It gets worse in Boston. The Massachusetts Turnpike Authority says inspectors have found at least 230 points where bolts are separating from the 3-ton concrete ceiling panels used in the Big Dig highway tunnels. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Yes, we do it live, unrehearsed, and without Annette. Where did Annette go, anyway? You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Live from the left coast. Coming up later this hour, we're going to get a viewpoint on the situation in the Middle East as Israel has taken military action not only into the Gaza Strip but also into Lebanon. And it's not just Israel. It's a complicated picture. We'll talk about that with Chris Tonsing, the editor of the Middle East Report, coming up in just about a half hour from now. Joining us now to talk about another breaking story today, one that fortunately has a happy ending for progressives, is Professor Spencer Overton, who teaches in the law school at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and he's the author of a new book called Stealing Democracy. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Peter, thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you again, sir. I was subbing for Tom Hartman a couple of weeks back, and you were scheduled on the show, and I had the opportunity to interview. You brought us some very interesting information as this story was starting to take shape, because there had been a deal between Democrats and Republicans that essentially the renewal of the Voting Rights Act was going to be a straight up or down vote. No amendments would be permitted. And then, apparently, an offshoot of the immigration debate, some Republicans actually read the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and discovered that, in some places, they have ballots that are printed in languages other than English.
That's right. There was bipartisan support initially for the bill, and there continued to be bipartisan support, Peter, but in June, the bill was blocked by some obstructionists in the Republican Party. Some of those obstructionists were against bilingual ballots. Others were against the so-called preclearance provisions of the Voting Rights Act. Those provisions require that certain areas of the country submit their changes and show that those changes to election laws are not discriminatory. So some Southern Republicans were against those voting protections and installed the bill. But fortunately, the bill passed as a whole today without any harmful amendments. It passed overwhelmingly, 390 to 33, Peter. It was a major win for civil rights.
And as I was preparing to come on the air, that voting result was not in, and I had a story from earlier this morning citing Roll Call, which said, bowing to demands of rank-and-file Republicans, House leaders granted consideration Wednesday to a bevy of amendments to the Voting Rights Act, including a measure to eliminate mandates for multilingual ballots,
right,
drawing the ire of Democrats who claim the move violates a bipartisan agreement over reauthorizing the 1965 law. So initially it was shaping up as a very partisan skirmish.
Right.
I saw a quote from Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader, saying that if any of those amendments had passed, that her caucus would vote against renewal.
Right, right.
So that showdown was averted. What took place? You're there in Washington. I don't know if you know the inner workings of the House.
Basically, we had four amendments that were debated on the floor, and they all were defeated. One of the amendments basically would have changed the coverage formula so that different areas would be covered by the particular parts of the Voting Rights Act. That was defeated. 319 people voted against that. Members voted against that. There was another provision that reduced the renewal from 25 years down to just 10 years so that this would expire in 2017 rather than 25 years from now. That was defeated. The there was an amendment to eliminate bilingual ballots, as we've talked about. That was defeated. 300 members voted against that provision.
Really?
And then finally,
I'm a little surprised in an election year that more Republicans didn't see that as an opportunity to score points with racist white Americans.
Yeah, I think that Republicans were frankly evenly split on that one, but it really did carry the day. And you remember the political calculation initially, I think, from Republicans was, you know, we're behind this and it shows that we're for civil rights. And unfortunately, the obstructionists within their party really brought a lot of bad press and bad attention to the party.
Mm-hmm. Well, you must be gratified that this evolved the way it did today, because I know you were very concerned that there might be some amendments that would either neuter or sharply roll back the 1965 Voting Rights Act.
That's right, Peter. I mean, this law is so critical. It's certainly needed. There's still problems. You look in Killmichael, Mississippi, a town that's 52% African-American. 3 weeks before the election day, the all-white city council canceled the election. That's just in 2001. And Prairie View, Texas, in 2004, the district attorney there threatened to arrest black students at a historically black college, and the county board reduced the polling hours at the polling place closest to that college from 17 hours down to 6 hours. So we still have these problems, and the Voting Rights Act prevents this kind of racial manipulation where incumbents manipulate the rules to suppress minority voting strength, really just so that they can hang on to power. And fortunately, this was passed. But you know, Peter, this is really just the first step. We've got to make it through the Senate. The Senate is next. I think that President Bush has indicated strong support for the Voting Rights Act. So I think that the Senate is the next big hurdle, then to the White House. And then, of course, this thing will be before the Supreme Court in the next couple of years. And as you know, we've got a new Supreme Court. And so the question is what the court is going to do with it.
And the next step in the Senate, do you expect controversy there, or do you think it'll be pretty smooth sailing?
There may be some controversy. Some of the members have expressed some of the same concerns that have been raised in the House. And the question is whether Arlen Specter, he's the Republican from Pennsylvania, whether he can just move this through the Judiciary Committee without a lot of friction. Hopefully, in light of this overwhelming vote in the House, 390 to 33, members of the Senate will see it to their benefit to just go ahead and support it and not try to obstruct it, so that this can really be a bipartisan bill and both parties can get credit for it as opposed to just one party.
That's Spencer Overton. He's a law professor at George Washington University, author of a book recently published called Stealing Democracy. And, Professor, while the Voting Rights Act is very important, I don't want to undermine it in any way, there are other significant issues related to the voting rights of every American and the integrity of our election process. And there are many of us who are quite concerned that elections have been stolen, mm-hmm. and that there are efforts underway to continue that trend, if you will.
Peter, you're absolutely right. Politicians control American democracy by manipulating election rules. We talk a good game about exporting democracy, but the people here in the United States aren't in control. Politicians use redistricting, as we saw in the Texas case. They use antiquated voting machines, long lines, other barriers to voting to determine who votes and whose vote counts. Voters don't choose politicians, but politicians choose voters, Peter. So we look at the partisan gerrymandering. We look at the fact that your right to vote depends on where you live, and we've got areas of the country where people are waiting 3 and 4 hours just to cast a ballot. So we really do have very significant problems that impact the rights of all Americans. Certainly minority voting rights are very important. The Voting Rights Act is very important, but we do need to be concerned with the voting rights of all Americans.
You referenced the redistricting decision in Texas, and I was really floored by that. It's not that I expected Tom DeLay to come out on the losing end, not with a solid Republican majority on the Supreme Court, but I still can't believe the mind-boggling statement in the majority opinion that while they established that it was a political motivation behind this redistricting, that they couldn't prove that every line drawn was political in its orientation or effect, and therefore they could find no political influence whatsoever, and so they declined to refer to this as political gerrymandering.
Yeah,
I just find that incomprehensible.
I agree with you, Peter. And, you know, the problem in this case is that the court puts its stamp of approval on this manipulation, and voters cannot hold politicians accountable if politicians can simply split communities and eliminate competition. Also, Peter, that decision opens up the floodgates to political manipulation across the country. We could see political payback by Democrats in Illinois, New Mexico, and Louisiana, where Dems control the state government. Also, Peter, it's just before the election. Your poll numbers are down. Why not just redraw the lines to improve your party's chances of maintaining power? The problem is that the court and the politicians are focusing on the political elites. They're not focusing on average voters and protecting the rights of average voters.
Well, Professor, I won't impute any partisanship to you, but let me just put the question this way. Why shouldn't Democrats adopt the same hardball tactics related to redistricting in states where they control the legislature and the governor's house?
Well, I think, unfortunately, they have in the past in some areas. Now, certainly not to the extent that it occurred in Texas, but if you look just in California, you know, Michael Berman, who's Howard Berman's brother, is in control of redistricting there, and you know, he was paid basically $20,000 by each Democratic member of Congress to draw a map that benefited them. You look at the Republicans and Democrats, they are working in cahoots with one another in order to protect and preserve incumbents and making incumbents safer.
Yeah, we have virtually no seats in play in California this year,
right.
And the framers intended for House seats to be in play every 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. It was supposed to be the House of the People. You remember the Senate was initially appointed by the legislature originally in the Constitution, and so the House was supposed to be the House of the People, but that's not the situation. Essentially, the state legislatures, through the redrawing of the districts, are appointing these members of Congress.
We have to take a break, Professor. We'll return in a moment. And if you have a question or comment for Spencer Overton, get on the line now, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. The number's 1-888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This Sunday and every Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate has the biggest names and the biggest deals in real estate. Here's where you can learn about first-time home buying, investing, 1031 exchanges, who are the best lenders, and what will be the next hot area for investing. Rock Roller Real Estate, soon to be heard in Phoenix, San Diego, and Portland. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Minutes past the hour, 4 o'clock here on the Peter B. Collins Show from KRXA 540. Usually at this time we bring you a traffic report. We're unable to reach our traffic reporter, Pat McAllister, right now. So we'll have another report hopefully for you in about half an hour. And my hope is that in the meantime you don't encounter some big, massive traffic jam and blame it on me. Coming up shortly, Chris Tonsing will join us. He's the editor of the Middle East Report. We're going to talk about the very dangerous situation in the Middle East and the two fronts now that Israel has opened up. And it's a very difficult situation. So Chris will give us his views on that coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And as we mentioned, we hope to have a traffic report for you about 447, 448, just depending on how it all flows. Thanks for listening to KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. Now in Sacramento and Phoenix, too. I'm glad you're listening. We continue our conversation with George Washington University law professor Spencer Overton. His new book is called Stealing Democracy. And, Professor, I also want to note that after I talked with you on the Tom Hartman Show a few weeks back, you popped up on the Lehrer News Hour on PBS. And I was rooting for you. You probably couldn't hear me. But I was talking back to the TV set, and I just felt you did a great job. I can't remember who they had on opposite you, but do you?
Well, thank you very much. I really was trying to just make it and just survive there in terms of Roger Clegg was on the other side, and
we did have
a good time. I think that his position was a more difficult position than my position because you know, I just think the Supreme Court was wrong in terms of not protecting all Texas voters from political manipulation by time delay.
Right.
And one other thing, Peter, in terms of the intro, you know, I started teaching law at the University of California, Davis.
Oh, really?
I was there for a couple of years. Certainly, great place, great people. And so I may be a mere Easterner now, but I've certainly had my day in the sun.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We've got listeners in the Davis area who will be tickled to hear that. So let's go to the phones here. Dave in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Spencer Overton.
Well, Professor Overton, you and Peter are both speaking my language on the subject of stolen democracy. Not to forget specially designed machines that are there to produce voter tabulation fraud. But anyway, am I hearing from you that today the same people, the cons that stole our democracy, did the very first non-destructive, the first good thing that's ever happened?
It wasn't their intention, Dave.
They misunderstood the bill?
Go ahead, Professor.
Well, this was a bipartisan bill. I think that the civil rights community went out of its way to keep other issues like felon disenfranchisement, when we talk about disenfranchising people who have served their time for life, keeping issues like that away from the Voting Rights Act. And they really did want bipartisan support, and I think they were very successful in their efforts. But again, this is really just the beginning.
Well, and it's not a momentary victory, but it's a single victory, and there are myriad issues that we have to take on.
Right.
And it's not a level or fair playing field on most of these issues. Dave, do you have another comment?
Well, that I hope I passed fleetingly there how much I'm worried about these machines that are designed to produce election fraud. If that's a
Well, let's ask the professor to talk about District 50 in California. I don't know if you read Brad Blog, but Brad Friedman.
I certainly do. I'm a fan of Brad Blog. And I think one important thing here to note is I would agree a paper trail is incredibly important. But see, I think that the situation in California really illustrates why a paper trail isn't enough. I think there people were taking machines home overnight. There weren't any real procedures. We need better procedures, and I don't mean to just throw up procedures as kind of dry things. We need real checks here and real audits for legitimacy. I think even a paper trail can be manipulated and
You're
isn't
right.
perfect.
Yeah.
I think we need real checks and real audits. These people who run these machine companies and who run elections, you know, they can swing thousands of ballots. People talk about fraud of an individual voter. You know, that's not really all that significant.
No, it's not.
Individual voters at max can, you know, cast a fraudulent ballot. It doesn't happen much. There have been studies on it. It's very, very infrequent. Whereas this concern and this problem where incumbents, who are often partisans, right, can essentially manipulate the tabulation process, that is a real issue, and we really do need procedures in place. I mean, we've got audits of private corporations, of major private corporations, to protect shareholders. At the very least, we can have some audits and other procedures to protect voters.
Joe and Salinas, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Spencer Overton.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me. I'm outside here.
You're coming through fine.
I enjoy what the professor said because he spoke the truth when he was talking about the situation that we have out here in California.
Yes, he did.
We've got the legislature controlled by the Democrats, and Arnold tried to rectify that situation, tried to get it into the hands of impartial judges, and unfortunately the Democrats, their propaganda machine went into high gear, got the unions all pumped up in their propaganda machine, and so now impartial districts is an impossibility, as it has been for quite a while now.
Well, Joe, I differ with you in that Governor Schwarzenegger made a number of serious blunders. First of all, trying to package the redistricting and a mid-cycle redistricting at that with other onerous packages that were flatly rejected by the voters. Also, I had problems with the system that he was proposing to set up. I thought it was too complicated and not transparent enough. That said, I do support honest redistricting in California, but I think it should take place after the next census. Thanks for your call today. Professor, just 30 seconds, your reaction to Georgia's decision not to impose the photo ID requirement in this election cycle?
Major victory, and remember that was a court that actually struck that down and prevented that from happening. The state of Georgia, I think, wanted to move ahead. And the reason that's a plus is because photo ID, it sounds reasonable, but 20 million Americans don't have a photo ID. That's more people than in Delaware and New Mexico, 14 other states. We're in the bottom 19% in the United States in terms of voter turnout of all nations in the world, all democracies in the world. Same time, fraud is rare. Ohio, there was a study. There were only 4 ballots out of 4 million, out of 9 million cast.
I'm going to have to stop you there, Professor, but thank you for joining us today, and we'll talk again soon. Spencer Overton's book is Stealing Democracy. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Everything 33 minutes past the hour. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You made my day. We'll open it up in the free speed zone about 30 minutes from now. Your calls and comments are welcome. There's plenty to talk about. Joining us now is Chris Tonsing, the editor of the Middle East Report, MERIP.org, on the web. Chris, welcome to our show today.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Difficult circumstances as Israel now has two fronts open, their incursion into the Gaza Strip about 10 days ago, and yesterday's response to the Hezbollah rocket attack, that actually a series of attacks, very well coordinated, that took 8 Israeli soldiers' lives and led to the detention of 2 additional Israeli soldiers. And without my opinionating, tell me what you think about this.
Well, it's probably the most dangerous crisis the region has seen in many, many years. It harkens back to 1982 when Israel invaded Lebanon in pursuit of guerrillas of the Palestine Liberation Organization. And the crisis seems to escalate on a daily basis. Most recently, 2 rockets were fired and hit the Israeli city of Haifa, and the Israeli government had previously stated that if rockets were to hit that particular city, that they would not rule out entering southern Lebanon with ground troops and tanks, which is a step that so far they have avoided, except to recover bodies of soldiers who had been killed.
Using air, including helicopter,
yes,
and bombing attacks.
Yes, Israel's response so far has been limited to, limited is the wrong word. It's been a quite expansive aerial assault on Lebanon as a country, not targeted at Hezbollah, the group, but as Lebanon as a country, which has included attacks on the airport, the runways there, as well as major bridges connecting the south with the rest of the country and also connecting Beirut with cities to the south.
And
also
Hezbollah's today, TV station was hit.
Hezbollah's TV station was hit, and also some other identified targets in the southern suburbs of Beirut. And then also the main highway leading from Beirut to Damascus in the early morning hours there was bombed most recently. So it does appear that that this situation might continue to escalate, and there's no telling where it might stop. It could get quite serious indeed.
And I understand that partisans on either side can point to provocations from the other side and justify reactions in turn. And so I see it as somewhat pointless to try to say, well, exactly who started this and how. On the other hand, it appears to me that Ehud Olmert is very focused on establishing how tough he is, and that he is as tough, if not tougher, than Ariel Sharon. Would you agree?
I do agree. I do think that in this particular case, it's pretty clear-cut that Hezbollah picked this fight with Israel.
Yes, they did.
If you separate that from what's going on in Gaza, the situation in Gaza is different. But Hezbollah did cross the border into Israel proper. They did not claim that the soldiers were taken captive on Lebanese soil or in the Shiba Farms area that is occupied Syrian territory. They say that this was a cross-border raid, and so it is not defensible in any international legal sense.
Mm-hmm.
Israel, I would argue, has overreacted by declaring this as an act of war against Israel by Lebanon,
right,
meaning the state of Lebanon, and they are holding the government of Lebanon, which clearly was blindsided by this operation by Hezbollah, responsible, and they are therefore targeting in their response the country of Lebanon. And that, I think, is also an overreaction. But to return to the main point of your question, yes, I think indisputably this government is still perhaps somewhat untested. Olmert had been the mayor of Jerusalem before he became deputy prime minister and then prime minister. He was somewhat thrust onto the national stage by the stroke and coma of Ariel Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is, yes, under some pressure to show that he is tough, and he's under some pressure to hold his governing coalition together. You recall that his party, the Kadima Party, was founded by Sharon for the explicit purpose of carrying out the follow-up to the unilateral withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. And this is, you know, part of imposing essentially what Olmert still hopes will be a final eastern border for the State of Israel unilaterally without a negotiation with the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
And that approach to the conflict is called into question, you know, among his supporters in Israel by this cross-border raid by Hamas and also by Hezbollah. It calls into question the idea that Israel can sort of unilaterally declare an end to the conflict without having a partner on the other side. And so various members of his party, of his own party, let alone other parts of the Israeli political spectrum, have been expressing doubts. And so that is another pressure on him as we move forward here.
Chris Tonsing is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's editor of the Middle East Report. Chris, I hear everything that you said over the past few moments, and I don't really dispute or dismiss any of the arguments or analysis that you've offered. But I'm troubled by the posture of Israel in the current situation, and I believe that there are similarities between Israel's posture and the posture adopted by the United States in too many situations. First of all, we have the doctrine of preemption that led us into Iraq, and I believe in some respects that Olmert is mimicking Bush in using preemptive tactics on the Palestinians. Not all military. You and I have talked before, and you know, when Hamas won the election and Israel moved unilaterally to corner them politically and economically and to put various types of pressure on the occupied territories, you know, I saw that as a kind of preemptive approach by the Olmert government. And the other parallel that I would draw is that I've been very troubled by the Bush administration's obliviousness or apparent obliviousness to the idea that opponents would not respond. And so we've heard a lot of tough talk about Iran and these plans that we could go in and identify 187 different sites and bomb them with impunity, and that there would be no reaction, that because we're so powerful and we think so much of ourselves that people simply wouldn't think to react. And in my view, this move yesterday by Hezbollah is a direct response to the heavy-handed military approach that Israel has taken in the occupied Gaza Strip over the past couple of weeks. And that, again, I felt Israel was a bit arrogant in imagining that they could apply this disproportionate military force and that there would be no significant reaction from the Palestinians or their allies.
Well, certainly, throughout the last 20 years at least, is different Israeli governments, regardless of ideological stripe, have sought to solve what ultimately are political conflicts through military means, in some cases exclusively military means. And certainly, that approach has not solved the underlying problems. And I think you could make a very convincing argument that we would not be in this situation today at all if the Israeli government, starting with Ehud Barak and going through Sharon and now Olmert, had not responded to the Palestinian uprising in the occupied territories with military force, but rather had engaged in serious negotiations with the Palestinians over the political issues that are the core of that conflict. I think the world would be a very different place today had they done so. And to bring in the Bush administration, the world would be a very different place today had the Bush administration urged its friend and ally Israel to negotiate with the Palestinians rather than to adopt this sort of iron wall military approach, which the best that can offer is a kind of low-grade simmering conflict going on as far as you and I can see, and then there are many worse scenarios. So there are no military solutions per se to these conflicts in the Middle East. That we need to have a comprehensive peace that includes the Palestinians, that includes Syria and their claim on the Golan Heights, that includes the outstanding issues between Israel and Hezbollah and prisoners, and all of these things need to be resolved. The only way to do so is politically. And this has been, I think, the fundamental strategic error of successive Israeli governments, that these problems can be solved or at least deferred indefinitely through shows of superior force, which no one doubts that Israel commands. Israel certainly is none of these conflicts are symmetrical. Israel is certainly the far stronger party, even if it's facing multiple opponents at once.
We're talking with Chris Tonsing, and Chris, I got an email today of an article that was, I guess it's a blog entry by a gentleman named Ray Close, who is a former CIA analyst in the Near East Division, and I want to credit one of my longtime email correspondents, Gene Ishenko, in Ontario, Canada, who sent this over to me. Thank you, Gene. A couple of quick excerpts. He says, one of the definitions of madness is the repetition countless times of the same action, always expecting a different result. For more than half a century, the Israelis have been applying the tactic of massively disproportionate retaliation to every provocative act of resistance attempted by the Palestinians, expecting every time that this would bring peace and security to all the people of the Holy Land. Every single time they've done this, it has backfired. He goes on, nor does it matter who started it. If you take land and houses and personal freedoms away from individuals, and if you systematically deprive a whole people of dignity and national identity, they do not forgive or forget their deep sense of injury, deprivation, and injustice. Giving them a thorough beating at regular intervals or endlessly frustrating their hopes of enjoying the benefits of political self-determination and economic prosperity does not diminish their personal bitterness or alleviate their collective hunger for revenge and restitution. And he closes by saying that encouraging and supporting Israel in a bloody confrontation with Hezbollah in Lebanon may seem to be a justified and reasonable action in the shortest of terms and from the narrowest of perspectives. But the United States of America is not Israel, and we have regional and global interests and responsibilities that far surpass those of this one small ally. Just for once, let's think first of what's best for America. Your reaction?
Well, I agree with almost all of that. I think certainly the injustice that's been done to the Palestinians is the root of the Arab-Israeli conflicts, all of them. And until that fundamental injustice is remedied somehow in a way that is acceptable to the Palestinians, there will be no end to a state of at least low-level conflict in that region. That, I think, is proven by history, and I think there's every reason to expect that that's going to occur. I certainly concur with the implication of what Ray Close is saying, that the United States, with regard to anything to do with Israel in the Middle East, has consistently and increasingly unequivocally backed whatever Israeli government is in power to the exclusion of other quite legitimate interests, namely primarily the interest of international law, which the United States ought to be upholding as the most powerful member of the United Nations. And this has done irretrievable damage to the cause of peace in the region, as well as certainly to the image of the United States in the region. It is the core reason why, for example, last year when the Bush administration was trying to promote democracy in the region, why that was regarded as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And until such time as the United States is willing to stand up to Israel and hold it accountable to international law like the rest of the world does, that fundamental problem with our image in the region will not be repaired.
We'll continue after a break. Chris Tonsing, my guest from the Middle East Report, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's moreimports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Tom Hartman.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushies.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
4:49 now from KRXA 540, and we are just about to get a traffic report from our new buddy Bob at Metro Traffic. Bob, are you with us? Okay, Bob, go right ahead.
Okay. We're looking at just a couple of accidents in the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 with the Lexington Reservoir. Overturned vehicle on the right shoulder. And in Prunedale, there's one major accident slowing things down. Prunedale North Road at San Miguel Canyon Road. It's an injury crash with a big rig, a car, and a motorcycle. CHP is on the scene. And that's a look at traffic on KRXA 540.
All right, Bob, thanks. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. Every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on the Stephanie Miller Show, Casey's got your traffic. Check in, get your last from Stephanie, your traffic from Casey on KRXA. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to your phone calls in the free speech zone right after the top of the hour. And if you have a comment in the meantime, you can join us too. 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. We continue with Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report. Chris, President Bush is traveling on his way to St. Petersburg for the G8 summit. And he was quoted in our hourly news broadcast just a few minutes, well, 45 minutes ago, as saying that the Hezbollah attack is pathetic. And he went on in the soundbite to single out Syria. Now, I find this interesting. I know that Hezbollah has strong relationships with both Tehran and Damascus. But at the moment, Israel is blaming Lebanon for this attack from Hezbollah, which originated inside the borders of Lebanon. And I'm not saying that Syria is pure as the driven snow, but I'm suspicious that our president is singling Syria out at this moment. Are you?
Yes, I don't think either Syria or Iran is pure as the driven snow, and I doubt that either one of them are completely innocent in this affair. However, there's a consistent tendency in Washington and to a lesser extent in Tel Aviv to portray Hezbollah as simply a puppet of Damascus and Tehran. And that's just not true. Hezbollah is certainly does have strong relations with both of those countries. There are its primary international supporters, and it does get arms and probably some money from both places. But those countries do not control Hezbollah. Hezbollah is an independent actor. It has its own rationales and calculuses for what it does. And this cross-border raid that it staged, I think, was very much driven by its calculations of its own interest. They may, people in Tehran may think that, or Damascus may also think that they're achieving something here, but I don't think that this was something that was an orders passed down from Syria or Iran. And it's quite worrisome that the Bush administration has chosen to react to this crisis by pointing the finger at Syria and Iran. And I think that clearly points to a larger agenda on the Bush administration's part. You saw yesterday the Bush administration took the occasion to send Iran's nuclear file back to the Security Council.
Right.
They're clearly hoping that this crisis will perhaps bring Russia and China closer into the U.S. and British camp as far as imposing sanctions on Iran for that issue. I doubt that that's going to work, but it's worrisome that that the Bush administration replies in that manner, and it indicates that the worst interpretation would be that that it indicates that the U.S. would actually back some kind of escalation by the Israeli military that would involve Syria in this as well, further expansion of the war, and that's clearly something to be avoided. But I also think that that there are reasons to believe that the U.S. Would not support a further expansion. In fact, is probably working to limit the scope of the Israeli retaliation in Lebanon. And one factor would be what this has done to oil prices. Oil prices are skyrocketing on this news, and they're already very high. Gas prices are already a major cause of discontent here in the United States with the Bush administration. And they could oil prices could keep on rising anytime Iran is mentioned, that makes the oil markets jittery. And so I think that's one factor that would hopefully push the Bush administration to intervene more responsibly in this escalating situation.
Sam Gardner is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel who we have talked with, and he's going to be on our program next Monday. He has a lot of good sources and has been following our contretemps with Tehran very closely. He wrote today, President Bush blames Syria and Iran. It has never been a secret that Hezbollah was funded primarily by Iran, but the degree of public blaming is new. Blame is the first step toward and sometimes forces action. If Iran is behind this, what are you going to do about it? It's very dangerous rhetoric. Then there was a speech by Khalilzad, the Zalmay Khalilzad, our ambassador in Baghdad and a PNAC guy, on Tuesday. If Iran persists in its unhelpful actions, the Iraqi government as well as the U.S. and other friends of Iraq will need to consider necessary means to deny Tehran the ability to undertake destabilizing policies. What the hell is the idea of suggesting that the Iraqi government, has any dogs in this hunt?
Well, they have no dogs at all in this hunt over in Israel and Lebanon. There is, unfortunately, a tendency, particularly among the neocons in Washington, to see the hand of Iran behind everything, and this is a way, frankly, what this is really about is a way of denying the centrality of the Palestinian issue with regard to any conflict that involves Israel. Any of these conflicts that involve Israel are about the Palestinians. They're not about Iran. They're not about Syria. Ultimately. When the neocons are talking about seeing the hand of Iran everywhere and Israel is involved, it's usually a means of distracting attention from what is the festering sore at the heart of any conflict in the region involving involving Israel.
Very well put. Let's jump to a caller, Tara from Bayside. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, Tara.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I'd like to separate Iran and Iraq from Israel and Syria, because I don't think they're at all related. True, they're all in the Middle East. First of all, I would like to point out that Israel is smaller than Los Angeles County. I say that because most people see Israel as some giant place.
Okay, I'm not laboring under that impression, but go ahead.
Okay, I know you're not. However, I don't know necessarily that the audience doesn't really recognize how small Israel is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you what, Tara, I see you have some meaty points here. Chris, do you have a little extra time? Can you stay over into the next segment?
Sure.
I'd like to continue this conversation without being up against the clock. So, Tara, if you can hold, we'll come back to you right after the news. Chris will be with us. We'll have a discussion, and we'll kick off the free speech zone with your comments in the next few minutes. All right?
Great.
So that's what's up next, and you can join the conversation, too. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Chris Tonsing, our guest from the Middle East Report, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The price of crude oil shot up to a new high today, settling at $76.70 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange.
Whenever there's violence or instability in the Middle East, that makes the market jittery.
Rice University energy analyst Amy Myers Jaffe, with fierce fighting in Lebanon, there's plenty for the market to be jittery about. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has more.
That $3 a gallon you're paying at the pump may soon look cheap. Crude oil prices rocketed, driven by rising tensions in the Middle East. Lebanon may not have oil, but its neighbors do. Nearly a third of our crude comes from the Arab world, and for months, fear of disruptions there have been pushing up prices.
Some experts think oil will hit $80 a barrel soon. In a classic bit of understatement, the Israeli military's chief of staff describes the furious barrage unleashed on Lebanon today as a hint to the Lebanese government that nothing is safe. The Beirut airport was bombed along with two military bases, bridges, buildings, and roads, including the highway between Beirut and Damascus. Hezbollah replied by firing missiles into Israel, hitting as deep as the port city of Haifa. No one was hurt, but Israel's ambassador to the United States called it a major, major escalation. The Bush administration says the Israelis have a right to defend themselves, but Secretary of State Rice suggests there are limits.
It is extremely important that Israel exercise restraint in its activities of self-defense.
Iran's President Ahmadinejad warns of a fierce response from the entire Islamic world if Israel attacks Syria. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports a key piece of civil rights legislation is on track to be extended.
After consideration was blocked last month by Southern Republicans, the House easily passed a 25-year renewal of the landmark 1965 Voting Rights Act, which backers say has been instrumental in increasing voting among African Americans and other minorities. Opponents argued southern states shouldn't still be punished for sins of the past with extra scrutiny. The final vote, though, was overwhelming, and the renewal is expected to pass the Senate.
Kentucky Derby winner Barbaro, injured at the start of the Preakness in May, has taken a turn for the worse. Dr. Dean Richardson of the University of Pennsylvania is his chief veterinarian.
The most feared complication from the outset for this horse was that he would develop laminitis on his good foot. And the horse has suffered an acute, rather severe bout of laminitis in his left hind foot.
Laminitis is a painful and often fatal condition caused by uneven weight distribution on the legs. The horse is on pain medication. Richardson says Barbaro is a long shot to survive. New Orleans, facing a long and expensive recovery from Hurricane Katrina, has dropped out of the competition to host the Democratic National Convention in 2008. That leaves Denver, New York, and Minneapolis-St. Paul in the running. The Dow lost 166 points as oil prices rose today. This is CBS News.
I love to decorate.
And I love you.
Oh, that so didn't work. Get the roller.
It's the Shades of Summer sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save $7 a gallon on a wide variety of interior and exterior paints and stains. So hurry in now for some great savings. For painting and decorating, ask how, ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic. Or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic. Or the customer is always right, even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Comedian and actor Red Buttons has died. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano has his story.
He was known early on by his given name, Aaron Cavant, but to millions of fans from vaudeville and the resorts of the Catskills to Broadway, radio, TV, and film as Red Buttons. His career spanned generations and included a hit record from a TV variety show.
She said, oh, Red, take me in your arms.
Red Buttons' career included films The Longest Day, The Poseidon Adventure, and his Academy Award-winning performance in Sayonara, TV's Knots Landing, Roseanne, and ER. Buttons died of vascular disease at his L.A. home at 87. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
How did Aaron Cavant get his stage name? One of his first jobs was as a singer and bellhop at a New York hotel. He had red hair, and his uniform had lots of buttons. Actress Casey Rogers has died at 80. She appeared in the Alfred Hitchcock film Strangers on a Train and had many roles on TV. She was Larry Tate's wife on Bewitched. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject guys hate to talk about, erectile dysfunction. Well, if guys won't even talk about it, how can we doctors treat them? First caller.
Yes, just for the record, I've never personally experienced ED.
Okay.
But were I ever someday to have this issue, I have a prearranged code with my doctor.
You're going to mention some kind of code phrase.
Exactly. One I'm not at liberty to divulge at this point in time.
And you think your doc will remember it?
Well...
Wouldn't it be easier to just take a deep breath and blurt out?
As in, hey doc, I think I might have ED?
Well, yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Thanks.
And we're on the air. If you think you might have ED, your doctor's the one who can help. So blurt, stammer, hammer, haw, your doc will get the drift. It could make a difference in your sex life. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, visit JustAskToday.com.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you found it. We're kicking off the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject that we've discussed and any subject we haven't discussed today. You've heard breaking news coverage of the announcement by Ambassador Joe Wilson and his wife Valerie Flame Wilson that they are launching a civil suit against Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, Dick Cheney, and as many as 10 other unnamed White House officials. We talked with Bill Goodman from the Center for Constitutional Rights about the landmark Supreme Court decision related to the detainees and what the Bush administration is doing to move forward. Also, what the attorneys for the detainees are doing to try to reassert their legal rights. We talked with law professor Spencer Overton about the Voting Rights Act. Surprisingly, after Republican attempts to amend it, it was passed intact today, 390 votes in favor. And we continue our conversation about the escalating situation in the Middle East. Chris Tonsing is still with us from the Middle East Report. And if you would like to join our conversation, here are the phone numbers, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And Chris Tonsing, thanks for holding over with us. We're also talking with Tara, our caller from Bayside. And Tara, I'm happy to give you a little more time to express yourself here.
Thank you.
So go right ahead. We have established that Israel is a very small country.
Okay. Many, many years ago, I was fortunate enough to listen to a speech by Golda Meir when she was in this country.
Uh-huh.
Her most important point was Israel must have peace with its neighbors to survive. It's difficult when your neighbors have avowed to push you into the sea, and they teach it in school,
mm-hmm.
and they support attacks from their country.
Okay.
It's as though Los Angeles was fighting the entire United States.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, pretty close. Okay.
Well, come on. The Palestinians have, you know, if you compare the Israelis to Los Angeles and the rest of the nation to the Palestinians, I mean, that is a fatuous example.
No, I'm not. I'm saying supported by the nations. I'm sorry if I implied that the, yes, I did imply that. You're right.
Okay.
You are correct.
Now, the Palestinians do get some support from other Arab nations. But it is not as extensive as I think the U.S. support for Israel is. Chris, you want to offer your opinion?
Well, let's just run down the list of Israel's direct Arab neighbors. Israel has been at peace with Egypt since 1979. It's been at peace with Jordan since 1994. Both of those peace agreements were based on a full and complete return of territory occupied in the course of the 1967 war. Egypt recovered the Sinai Peninsula, which Israel had occupied. Israel remains in a state of war with Syria because it continues to occupy the Golan Heights taken in the course of that war. It remains at war with Lebanon largely because of Syria's influence on Lebanese politics. But if the conflict with Syria were resolved, the conflict with Lebanon would end overnight. And then it remains in a sort of, well, really we have to call it a state of war now with the Palestinians. And that's a result of the failure of Israel to return territory occupied in 67 and the settlement project that started in the 1970s, which has made Palestinians fear that they will never achieve statehood. And also the failure to resolve the refugee problem. The Palestinians made refugees in the course of the 1948 war.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the political conflicts that are at the core of Israel's problems with its immediate Arab neighbors. If those were resolved, peace with all of the Arab countries would follow in very, very short order. The Saudi Peace Initiative of March 28, 2002 said as much, that Israel would achieve prompt recognition by all Arab countries that have not recognized it and prompt diplomatic relations with all those countries if it were to return to the 1967 boundaries. So this is not some sort of timeless, eternal conflict that is insoluble and that we can't figure out what to do. It's a political conflict with pretty clear terms and it can be solved if there's sufficient political will in Israel and also in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Tara?
I would really love to agree that if the United States put pressure on Israel, there would be peace. I would also like to say it was very, very difficult to hear the gentleman. A lot of his points I completely agree with, because
mm-hmm.
he's right.
Yeah.
But I will say that the Palestinians voted in a party with the avowed principle of wiping Israel off the face of the earth.
Well, it's not as simple as that. Your statement is factual, okay? But Abu Mazen, the current president of the Palestinian organization, the government there, looked for cues from the United States and Israel about whether to go forward with the elections last fall. And Bush is on this democracy binge, right? And
he just said,
yeah, let's go. We got to have this election. That's what democracy is all about. And he apparently had no idea that Hamas would come out of that election with control of the government. And Chris, those markers were somewhat evident, were they not? I mean, the corruption of Fatah, the decline in support following the death of Arafat, these things were not secret.
Yes, but I'm not sure if I heard the caller's statement correctly, but I'm not sure if it's factual. If Hamas is all of the Palestinians, it's not factual. In fact,
no. All she said was that Hamas was elected and that they're focused on the overthrow of Israel.
Now, wait a minute, not the overthrow, the extermination.
Okay.
More precisely, Hamas's charter calls for an Islamic state in all of Palestine. Now, de facto, that would mean that the state of Israel, as a Jewish state or as an independent state, would cease to exist if the terms of the Hamas charter were applied. That is true. Hamas is not the whole of the Palestinian people or the whole of the Palestinian political spectrum by any means.
No, but they're the government.
Now, Hamas has, prior to this crisis, been making a series of pragmatic noises, which could be interpreted as positive signs that they are moving in the direction that their secular counterparts in the PLO moved in the late 80s, which is toward a recognition of the State of Israel and toward an embrace of a two-state solution as a long-term solution to this conflict, an end to the conflict.
Tara, your
those
turn.
Those statements started immediately after
the
their
Hamas
election
did not
into the Palestinian parliament.
That they would recognize Israel. They said that they would put the exterminate Israel on hold temporarily, is what they said.
Well, on the very day that Israel launched its most recent incursion into the Gaza Strip, there was an announcement from Hamas that they were trying to avoid the referendum, which had been proposed by Abu Mazen, and that they were moving in this direction. Now, I understand, Tara, you're skeptical of that, and there's good reason for it. However, I think we have to look at the complexity of the situation and, again, the U.S. call for democracy. And if we truly support democracy in the Middle East, it doesn't mean only governments that are elected that we like.
But we don't support democracy in this country. Why should we support it over there?
All right, but that's irrelevant in this conversation.
No, but we didn't mean it. I mean, that was a political ploy. And I agree with you. There must be peace in the Middle East. There must be.
All right. Well, Tara, I'm running out of time here. Why don't you make a final comment? And I appreciate your exchange here today.
Thank you. Final comment. My deepest wish is that there be a Palestinian state and peace between all of the people that live in that area.
All right, Tara, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And Chris, my final comment to you is that Israel's actions have unified Hamas and Fatah in a way that wasn't foreseeable even 2 weeks ago.
Yes, that's somewhat true. I think that Fatah is probably quite upset with the turn of events, but they are placed in a situation where they have to back the Hamas government, since it is the elected government of the Palestinian people, and since, particularly, Israel has chosen tactics of collective punishment to respond to the Hamas capture of the soldier and the killing of the two other soldiers.
Right.
And that means that Fatah and any other Palestinian politician to be in solidarity with the Palestinian people who are bearing the brunt of this military campaign has to be, therefore, in solidarity with Hamas as well.
Anything you'd like to add to close?
Well, I would add that I would hope that the situation in Lebanon gets the Bush administration off its duff. It very belatedly, it should have been off its duff weeks ago to intervene in this escalating crisis and stop it from escalating further before it does lead us into some kind of broader regional conflagration. It's already dangerous enough.
Chris, I appreciate your expertise. Thanks for going over time with us today.
No problem.
We'll talk again soon. Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report. They're on the web, merip.org. We'll continue in just a moment. Our lines are open for you in the Free Speech Zone. 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
521 now, KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home on this Thursday. We've got Bob at Metro Traffic.
Good afternoon. Northbound 17 at the Lexington Reservoir. An accident with an overturned vehicle. Off to the right-hand side, been there for a little over an hour and still slowing things down. Live Oak, Soquel Avenue at 7th Avenue, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Four cars involved there. And in Marina, southbound 1, just before 1st Avenue, an object on the roadway, we're not quite sure what it is. Oh, it is. It's a mattress, and everybody's swerving to avoid it. That's a good idea. This report is brought to you by Sleep Train. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
Now, is that a Sleep Train mattress? Or is that one of those that they picked up by delivering before 10 p.m.?
I certainly hope not.
probably a Comfort Select mattress set at zero. Thank you, Bob. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. Coming up after 6 o'clock, Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks here on KRXA. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. That makes me your humble host, Peter B. We are in the free speech zone where you can use your First Amendment rights in a mostly unfettered way.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back with thinking.
Your calls may be subject to monitoring, not for quality control, but for surveillance by the National Security Agency.
There's so much hatred.
The My Lines are open for the intrepid who do not fear Big Brother. Call us with your comments today, 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. Or toll free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And I want to know where Jake in Arcata is. And I want to know what happened to Dennis in King City. So if you're within the sound of my voice today, give us a call and check in. And up next, we've got Dave in Santa Cruz. Thanks for holding, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., how are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
You know, I'm calling to give you my perspective about what's going on in this Middle East situation. As deplorable as it is, I think it's a little predictable given Bush's track record. Now, did you notice that in response to this, the price of oil has gone up now to over $76 a barrel,
right,
which is a record price. And not only that, analysts are saying they can't foresee anything that would stop it from going up to 80. And how does that play into Bush's agenda? Well, we've seen that due to the Iraq invasion and other geopolitical crises that we're now facing, that this has caused the price of oil, the wholesale price of oil in the world markets, to skyrocket. And what happens to oil company profits when that happens?
Well, there's no doubt that Bush's cronies are benefiting. And let's keep a couple of things in mind, because a lot of people get, I think, misled by this reporting about the strike price of a barrel of oil on the spot market. Because not every gallon that Chevron is processing at its refinery in Richmond, California, came from a $70 or $80 a barrel. Much of that came from a $40 barrel that was pumped out of a well in Texas or Oklahoma or somewhere else in this country. And, you know, it wasn't worth pumping that oil when the spot price was at $30 a barrel, but they can get $40, $50, $60 for it. And the way the economics of it work, you know, they can manipulate the profit margin that they have based on the commodity price of the spot oil quote, which is $76 today. So even though this crisis pricing does have an impact on our price at the pump long term, the stranglehold that the oil companies have on refinery capacity in this country is the real leverage point that they are using to drive up the consumer price to $3 plus at the pump.
And I think it's these crises that the oil companies are able to manipulate to increase their profits. And, you know, as you say, they're able to take advantage of increases in the oil market, even though their costs don't reflect what they're now able to charge because of the increases in the spot market. And,
right, because,
and we've
because
seen that over the years benefit Bush and his friends with the multi-billion dollar Exxon profits in one quarter, in one fiscal quarter. And again, it wasn't traced so much to supply and demand, even though it's true that the emerging company countries like India and China are ratcheting up demand, but it has to do with the fact that the oil companies can tie their pricing at a retail level into what's going on in the spot market, just like what we saw happen with Enron when we had our electricity crisis here in California a few years ago, a very similar type scenario.
Right, and that's why there isn't a one-to-one correspondence between increases in the price of crude and the increases in the price we pay at the pump. Sometimes it is influenced by the crude increase, but more often, at least in the last couple of years, it's been by the limited capacity at refineries. And as you point out, just the way the electricity generating companies limited their capacity, voluntarily shut down plants when they didn't have to. Those are the kinds of ways that they game the system, and we're the ones who pay. Dave, I really appreciate your call. Thanks for joining us. Steve in Salinas. Hi, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. Not to defend kidnapping of the soldiers by the Palestinian, nor defending the launching of armaments 30 miles over the border into civilian populations. However, Peter B., let's not... How many homes of Palestinians have been bulldozed and archaeologically excavated, especially in Megiddo, in search of a 12th century king, a fictional king created in the 7th century B.C., David and Solomon, who probably didn't even exist, for God's sake, excuse the pun.
Yeah, hey, Steve, if you talk a little softer, we can hear you better. Your phone's kind of distorting when you speak up. I hear your point.
My point is
And
that,
let's just look at it in terms of casualties. I don't have the figures right in front of me.
Yeah.
But the last time I heard, it's about 8 or 10 to 1, and Palestinians are the 8 to 10, you know, in terms of the number of live civilian or fighters that have been lost in recent weeks.
Yeah. It's just... It's insanity to bomb the Lebanese airport. I mean, you know, come on.
I agree. There were tourists there, too, and why get them caught in the crossfire? Steve, thanks for your call. I got your email, too, and I'll refer to a couple of those remarks a little later in the hour.
Okay, that's it, Peter B. Thanks.
Thanks for your call. 831-899-5792, toll-free, 888-579-2540. Your free speech zone right here on the Peter B. Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There's a lot we can do to help children feel confident and positive about their racial heritage and culture and encourage the development of healthy racial identity. I'm Nurse Rona. Join us Sunday when we'll offer suggestions for fostering a healthy sense of self in children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Thanks for tuning our way. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Rolling home at the limit, or maybe a little better, lead foot.
I can't drive 55.
That's the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar. And he did rescue Van Halen, but I still can't forgive him for his own personal right-wing politics. He's a nut. And we're taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Show, 888-579-2540. And I have one line available on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Right back to your calls in a second. But I want to share with you this disturbing email from Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force. He's been on our show many times and a man I find quite credible. I respect him. He'll be joining us next Monday to talk about the situation with the U.S. and Iran. And today he distributed an email to me and others around the country. Greetings, he wrote. I've been fussing over the past couple of months that the issues with Iran are not really about the nuclear program. I see great danger in the recent events moving in the direction of a U.S. military action against Syria and Iran. Others share my concern. Late yesterday afternoon, I began receiving calls and emails from people who know the region, press, former military, former CIA. They know my interest in Iran and wanted to tell me of their concerns about the current situation leading to a U.S. strike on Iran. One even suggested we are seeing a coordinated U.S.-Israel timeline. Europeans are condemning Israel's overreaction, but not the United States. This morning, an anonymous U.S. spokesman in Germany urged restraint on both sides, but said Israel had a right to defend itself. One has to believe the private communications between the White House and Omert give U.S. support for the operation. President Bush blamed Syria and Iran. It's never been a secret that Hezbollah was funded primarily by Iran, but the degree of public blaming is new. Blame is the first step toward and sometimes forces action. If Iran is behind this, what are you going to do about it? It's very dangerous rhetoric. Then where there was the speech by Khalilzad. Khalilzad is the ambassador to Baghdad and a Bush insider who was part of the Project for a New American Century. Quote, if Iran persists in its unhelpful actions, the Iraqi government as well as the United States and other friends of Iraq will need to consider necessary measures to deny Tehran the ability to undertake destabilizing policies. And I'll pause here in Sam Gardner's email to reflect, and I pointed this out last hour when I read these two lines to Chris Tonsing. That is, who's kidding who? That the U.S. and Iraq, I mean, Iraq barely has a functioning government. It can't control its own country. And to suggest that they are a staunch ally with us against Iran, well, that denies any knowledge of the brutal, bloody war that Saddam fought with the Iranians through most of the 1980s. Back to Sam Gardner. Israeli defense forces are calling up reserves. Reports are this includes a division for operations in Lebanon and elements of the Air Force. Israeli targeting in Gaza looks like regime change, not searching for a hostage. This morning's targeting of the airport in Beirut and the naval blockade are the kinds of things you do in preparation for larger operations. This is going to get bigger. Israel News Agency reported yesterday that analysts were saying Israel would not be acting alone in a fight with Lebanon, Syria, and Iran, with U.S. military action expected to be coordinated by the IDF. That's the Israeli Defense Force. This kind of talk is certainly going to make the situation worse. Gardner goes on, I must admit I've also been struck by visual unintended consequence. The first pictures released yesterday of Israeli troops moving into Lebanon showed a line of Humvees. The U.S. allowed Israel to buy up armored Humvees from the manufacturer. I'm certain no one thought of the visual impact on the region of Humvees moving into Lebanon. That image will confirm prejudices in the region. This morning, the important dimension to unfold will be the reaction in the region. We have only seen elements to this point. We also have not seen the full reaction from Iran. Watch for that. The expanding Israeli operations might not be part of a larger plan. We might be seeing something like the events following the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand in 1914. Either would have disastrous consequences. Signed, Sam. To your calls now. Let me see who's next here. It is David, Humboldt County. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Doing okay today. Thank you.
Great. I got a couple of very quick points, and you really just covered one of them. I was going to call and speak real quickly on Israel, but here's really just what I want to say. You guys are talking about the Bush administration and what it should or could do or whatnot. They're so illegitimate, I'm still shocked that they get airtime on our media, and I'm wondering why you would expect any integrity from, I mean, I don't know what else to call them, but horrible war criminals. They capitalize on every fearful situation to make it worse for their benefit, and this is a pretty fearful situation. On the news break in between some of your segments, Iran has just threatened Israel with, okay, if you come after Syria, we're coming after you in a full-on attack. You had mentioned earlier that Israel's beef is with the Syrian-backed Hezbollah at this point.
Right.
So then why are they attacking Lebanon? Well, they certainly, what happened there happened with Lebanon's at least approval, quiet, tacit approval. And if Israel does go after Syria, everything you just outlined is going to unfold. And I am most fearful of the Bush administration. And again, I think all parties are using both Israel, the Palestinians, and everyone in the region as pawns. Real quickly, though, what I wanted to mention about what Israel will not give up.
David, let me just say that I generally agree with you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it's a horrible situation. Here's what Israel will not give up. They will not give up the Golan Heights. They see it as strategically suicidal. They just won't do it. They will not give up East Jerusalem. And as far as what's quoted as the right of return, they just are not going to let themselves be overrun by people who are hostile to their goals. So these are horrible realities. And if they're going to get back to some kind of a peace process, these things can be discussed, but the Israelis will not give it up. And one thing I thought was neat, the woman who called earlier from who discussed the smallness of Israel,
Tara.
I appreciated you letting her speak because Israel is real tiny, and that's part of the problem. But what you outlined about Syria, Iran, and the Bush administration, that's what I'm most fearful of, and I think they're all being used as pawns, and it's just horrible.
And, David, who's the only winner in this?
I don't think anyone wins, Peter, because what's going on right now is one of those situations where we could get into the nastiest war that people in our generation have ever seen. There's no winners. There's no winners. The people who think they're winning or gaining money out of the oil or whatever, they're all going to lose, too. It's insanity.
Well, I see a single winner, and his name is Osama. And what he wanted was to draw the United States into a holy war on Islamic soil.
Well, to the extent that you're correct, Osama and George Bush's family and the Osama bin Laden family have been trading oil and companies and working together for so long. That's documented. It's well understood. The other players in the region are dubious at best. The Saudi government does not have good intentions. The Jordanian government does not have good intentions for peace in the region. And I'd like to say Israel has them. They'd love them. They're terrified. That was my point to you last time I talked. But anyway, I appreciate your forum, and thanks for today's show.
I'm glad to hear from you again, David. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ben now in Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, sir. If you would allow me to pick your brain a little bit here.
Okay, what's left of it? Oh, go right ahead.
Okay, Kenny Boy Lay.
Yeah.
Alive or dead?
He's dead.
You think so? You don't think there's a new John Doe in Costa Rica somewhere, Mr. John Doe Smith? The closed casket, they immediately cremated him. I mean, facing all these charges, now the family keeps some money, and he gets a little plastic surgery, and he shows up at Costa Rica, Mr. John Smith. You can't buy that?
Well, Ben, I'm not going to dismiss it, and here's why. There was a body that was found in London yesterday.
Yes.
Of a guy from the Royal Bank of Scotland,
yep,
who had been responsible for loans to Enron.
Yep.
And there is a rather brutal dispute underway in England right now,
yep,
about whether to turn over to the United States through extradition,
yep,
some other bank executives, I think from National Westminster.
Yep.
And the issue is, at least some people in Britain have stated, that if they want to try these guys, they should try them in Britain under British law.
Yep.
And that extraditing them to the U.S. Would lead to an uncertain outcome.
Well,
and so I have to say that, you know, you're not the first, but many intelligent people have called this program since the reports of Ken Lay's death,
yeah,
questioning whether it really occurred.
Maybe and we should watch to see if Scooter Libby and Tom Dallaire are going to have a sudden heart attack also. Another thing I wanted to hit you with, this thing in my brain is doing a skip on me. Oh, Patrick Fitzgerald. Okay, Valerie Plame came out naming Cheney and Rove as the people, and some other person, a Holman or some name like that.
No, Hadley. We speculated about Hadley. He was the number two to Condoleezza Rice, and then when she was promoted for her
Novak also named Rove and an unnamed other party.
A guy at the CIA.
He's
a public information officer at the CIA.
This is my question.
And the CIA guy does not accept Novak's assertion.
Yes, okay,
I can't think of his name.
Okay,
it's Hawley or something like that. Begins with an H.
Yeah, that's
and
familiar.
Novak has asserted that he called Rove and this guy to confirm what his unnamed-to-date principal source told him.
Exactly.
And so that's the first I've heard about this CIA guy, but he has flatly denied what Novak says.
Okay, now, so therefore, my question in closing off this conversation is this. Who or what backed Patrick Fitzgerald off of this indictment? Because with all these people giving up Cheney and Rove's name, where there's fuel, there's fire, and we're being hoodwinked. And Fitzgerald, he was one of our people? Was he promised the next Supreme Court judgeship, or was he given his golden parachute, the offer you can't refuse?
Well, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
One thing that we can say, if we flip this a little bit, Ben, and look at it from the point of view of Joe Wilson and his wife,
yeah,
that by opting for a civil suit,
yep,
they have a greater opportunity of forcing out the truth and winning a conviction because the rules of evidence are looser,
yep,
and the standard for a conviction is,
yep,
lower than in a criminal case.
Yeah.
And so it is possible. And I'm not rejecting what you just suggested about Fitzgerald perhaps being bought off. It's not consistent with his record.
That's true.
But, people change. Things happen.
Yeah.
But it's also possible that Fitzgerald concluded after some months of keeping the heat on Karl Rove that he simply didn't have enough evidence to nail him for lying to investigators. Because after all, Fitzgerald has not brought any charges on the underlying leak itself, only on the course of the investigation and the allegations that Libby, Rove, and others lied to investigators.
And one thought that just hit me as I let you go. This thing going on in Israel attacking
Lebanon
and maybe Syria or whatever is in the cooker there, I find it very unusual that Mr. Bush is in Hitler's Germany. Maybe he gets a sense of home there. But if they start this nuclear conflagration, does the world and American people, the intelligent ones, not the Republicans, how long do they think China and Russia are going to sit there and twiddle their thumbs while we start offing nukes where they have to grow their food and live and eat?
Well, and this is the thing that scares me the most.
Yes, sir.
Is that this administration seems completely oblivious to unintended consequences.
Thank you, sir.
And again, I do not rationalize the attack by Hezbollah on the Israeli positions and on Israeli civilians.
I condemn them.
But you can understand that they feel a need to help their brothers and sisters who are under siege in the Gaza Strip. And, you know, when Israel pushes with maximum force, use your favorite metaphor, a toothpaste tube or a pimple, you squeeze and something's going to come out.
U.S. dollars at work.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
More of your calls coming up. I need one or two more callers, so if you're on the verge, get over the hump. Give me a call. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
KRXA 540 takes one more look in the rear view mirror. We check traffic now with Bob at Metro.
In Saturday on the two-step, we have an accident reported 129 and 101. CHP is en route. Santa Cruz problem. Grand Mill Road at Rollingswood Drive. An accident there with two cars blocking one of the lanes. Santa Cruz, southbound one at Orchard Street. A stalled car blocking the left lane. I'm Bob Gower with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Bob. We'll check back with you all tomorrow. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on KRXA 540. And coming up just after 6 o'clock, the Reverend Barry Lynn. He's the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the host of Culture Shocks, a great show. Hope you'll stay tuned for that just after 6 o'clock here on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Your free speech rights are available. You can join me with a comment, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. And up next, we go to John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Did you happen to listen to Ed Schultz at all today?
You know, I tend to hear the last few minutes of Ed's show when I'm gearing up for mine, and I did hear him have a happy talk conversation with Senator Joe Lieberman.
That's right, but he had Ned Lamont on earlier.
I didn't hear that.
Well, it was kind of disappointing because I think he toned down his liberality a bit because Big Ed is such a Hillary fan, among other things. I almost, there are times when I wish you would replace him, because I think you need to replace him with a really lefty, a Marxist.
Yeah.
Then we could hear on that side of the spectrum what we might hear, something a little closer to a Hannity of the left. I want to be challenged.
But, John, I want to reject this kind of orthodoxy on the left, because I don't agree with Ed Schultz in the way he's cozying up to Lieberman. And I've heard some of his comments saying, you know, that he thinks it's okay that Lieberman has taken out the papers to run as an independent if Lamont beats him in the primary. And I don't agree with that. But I think we need, you know, free, open, and honest debate on the left. And, you know, I respect Ed Schultz even when I disagree with him.
Well,
I think the response should be for you to call up Ed and give him a piece of your mind. He'll sit there and listen, and then he's going to say, thank you for your call. He probably won't engage with you. I notice he does that quite a bit.
Well, I've thought of doing that, and I may yet. What did you think of Lieberman almost taking the Bill Kristol line about a conservative is a liberal mugged by reality? Because he said several times, first he said that it was a principled, independent, and brave kind of thing for him to stand up and be the supporter of the war, and he made a case for being for it all along because of the notion of getting rid of Saddam. Did you hear that line of his, or do you remember that?
I didn't hear it in particular, no, John.
Well, he's such a supporter of Israel that you could almost argue. Remember when John Kennedy was running and there were all those arguments that he would listen to the Pope rather than be an independent president? Well, you could almost argue now, and maybe this is what Schultz should have challenged him on, really, how much of this is your allegiance to Zionism and to Israel? And I question how could our being in Iraq really help Israel if all it does is create more ferment and trouble in that already terribly troubled area?
Well, and the perception is there are many Iraqis who refer to the coalition, the American forces, as part of Israel, and they use terms that that are considered crude or racist.
I have a question to ask you. Why, right now, one of my chief laments is that there is no well-known personality like a King or a Gandhi or a Nelson Mandela or a Bishop Tutu. And then, of course, there's Robert Byrd, who hopefully will have another term in the Senate, but he's so old that he could barely conduct the opposition, which he did mount, but it was costing him in energy and effort back when the whole debate was on about going into Iraq. But there is no figure right now in the world. The Pope, sort of the former Pope, John Paul II, had that slogan, no more war, and confronted Bush several times directly about how he opposed Bush's war. And I think that would make a great bumper sticker, because that's exactly what the world needs. If I could put my finger on the most pressing need of all, it's to stop these idiotic conflicts that could erupt, as you were talking earlier about is it the General Gardner again, or is it
Sam,
Colonel?
He's a Colonel, Sam
Colonel.
Gardner.
He pointed out that awful prelude leading up to the First World War, the Balkan incident, and the Archduke Ferdinand. You know, if I were teaching a history class, and I would challenge all your listeners, try to figure out, if you can, what were all those men fighting for who died? A million more dead in England, lot more than a million dead in France, million dead or more in Germany, 2 million plus dead in Russia. What did all those men die for? Why did this First World War occur?
Yeah.
We know the events that led up to it, but it's one of the most absurd and pointless conflicts, but it shows how such bloodletting, such suffering, such agony could be let to happen, and then practically no one to lament or apologize for it, certainly not from any of the world leaders who are responsible.
Yeah.
And
John, I need to cut it here because I'm running late, and I got a couple other items, but I appreciate your call. And to your point about the Pope, At JP2's funeral, the Pope-a-thon, I mean, it was a week of coverage. Bush went without any shame and sat there to mourn the passing of this Pope, whose most important message he had ignored. And I just think that speaks for itself. A couple of quickies here. Vladimir V. Putin, the Supreme Leader of Russia, went neener-neener on Dick Cheney yesterday. If you recall, Cheney went to Lithuania in May, where he delivered a speech and slammed the Kremlin for unfairly and improperly restricting people's rights. Putin's response yesterday? I think that these kinds of comments from your vice president amount to the same thing as an unfortunate shot while out hunting. That's what he told Matt Lauer of NBC's Today Show. Also, I want to acknowledge Ruth from Carlotta, who sent me a note yesterday. We were talking about the difficulty of broaching a discussion about 9/11 and what really happened that day. He said, "Hi, Peter, we run into this all the time, especially my husband, who's very intense and passionate about 9/11. Does anyone do a forum on how to talk to people, how to know when to stop recognizing the eyes glazing over, and so on? If not, there sure is an opportunity there." You're right, Ruth. That's a very interesting comment. And Steven Salinas, who called us earlier in the hour, had a couple of other notes regarding Valerie Plame. He said, "I think it's possible that Valerie Plame was outed not to get even with her husband, but to silence Valerie Plame. I believe that most of what she was doing had to do with what was happening in Iran. What kind of threat was the Iranian government? If the occupation of Iraq had not turned into such a total fiasco, we'd probably be in Iran by now." Clear thinking there, Steve. That is a possibility. And I am pleased that the Wilsons have decided to file the civil suit that we'd heard about against Cheney, Libby, Rove, and up to 10 other unnamed White House officials. It kind of made my day. So I'll be back here again tomorrow, same time, same station. I hope you'll join me. This is Peter B.
Happy trails to you.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The sound of explosions echoed across Lebanon today as Israel mounted a powerful response to the capture of two of its soldiers. Hezbollah fought back, firing missiles into northern Israel. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger reports some reached as far as the port city of Haifa.
For Israel, the attack on Haifa is a major escalation because Haifa is a strategic city. It has a seaport. It has oil refineries. It also shows that Hezbollah has increased its rocket capabilities, and Israel is promising harsh retaliation. I think we're going to see Israeli strikes on Beirut.
In fact, in the last few minutes, explosions were heard in Beirut's southern suburbs, a Hezbollah stronghold. Earlier strikes came as close as Beirut International Airport, stranding foreign visitors who wanted to fly out. The road from Beirut to Damascus was bombed, and Israel imposed a naval blockade along the Lebanese coast. The Bush administration calls on Israel to exercise restraint. Lebanon doesn't have any oil, but fear of a wider regional conflict drove oil prices sharply higher today.
Everything that is going on in the Middle East with Israel and Lebanon, with Iran, make traders concerned.
Oil analyst Peter Butel thinks prices could spike to $80 a barrel. Today, the closing price on the New York Mercantile Exchange was a record $76.70. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has declared a state of emergency in San Bernardino County, where two wildfires are burning and threaten to merge.
30
Alpha. A 40,000-acre desert fire destroyed Mark Hines' home in Pioneer Town. He and his family grabbed heirlooms as they fled.
We tried. We tried, and then we had to leave, so we got what we could.
5 miles away, there's a smaller blaze in the San Bernardino National Forest. Firefighters are struggling to keep them apart. Once held as an enemy combatant, now facing trial on charges of conspiring with terrorists, U.S. citizen Jose Padilla has been granted access to the classified material that's to be used against him.
Padilla isn't being given the key to the government's vault of secrets. He isn't going to be allowed to see information that will change the course of history. He's going to be able to see videotapes of his own interrogations made while he was an enemy combatant, as well as summaries of his own testimony. So take with a grain